If you find it difficult to develop more positive attitudes, it's possible that you're troubled by thoughts or memories that belong to the past. This can go back as far as childhood, adolescence, a difficult marriage or love relationship, an unpleasant work experience, or a bout of hardship or financial difficulty. Practically all of us have something we tell ourselves shouldn't bother us anymore. But regardless of what your logical mind says, you may have nagging feelings of anxiety, anger, and depression, perhaps having to do with something that happened a long, long time ago, or it can be something that just happened recently. But either way, the task is to let go when the experience is over, but the feelings linger on. Sometimes, unfinished business can be worked out with the person it's directed to, while other times it can't. It's possible that you may even have some unfinished business towards someone to whom you have no access, or even someone who is no longer alive. But nonetheless, the feelings remain. So if you can't work it out with that person directly, your only alternative is to work it out within yourself. I believe that letting go is actually a skill. Some people know just when the time is right to leave a person or situation, while others hang on way too long. The first thing I would like you to do is to think a little bit about where it is that you are. Are you too good a leaver? Or is it your tendency to stick around long after staying in a situation is in your best interest? And when I talk about staying around, remember it's how you stay around emotionally that affects your attitudes more than anything else. Sometimes the thoughts that we experience as regrets are healthy signs that something we may not have been ready to do at one time in our lives may be ripe for exploration now. For example, do you tell yourself that if you had it to do all over again that you would do things differently? Maybe that's a question that's worth contemplating right now. In fact, make a list of all the things that you would either do or look at differently if you had it to do over again. Chances are that list you make will contain some insight or perhaps some things that you took way too seriously that you wouldn't take so seriously now. But also, you may come up with an item or two whose time has come. For example, many people later on go back to college, change careers, or rekindle old relationships and make other positive changes in their lives in response to a nagging thought. So in those cases, an inability or an unwillingness to let go is simply a healthy sign that you don't want to let go. Many people experience those thoughts as something of a calling to do something differently. In a sense, these are dreams, and one of your highest responsibilities to yourself is to listen to those dreams and to act on them when appropriate. But when you're plagued by things from the past, relationships that have ended and that are no longer available to you, or which you know in your heart of hearts could never serve you, or when there's some loss that you're unwilling to accept and move beyond, then the skill that's called for is the skill of letting go. Love relationships are one area that many people have the most difficulty in becoming free. This could be a relationship that you yourself decided to end, or one that was ended by the other person where you had little choice in the matter. Let's look at some of the attitudes that can prevent you from letting go of an ended love relationship and explore alternative attitudes that can make the crucial difference that will allow you to let go and move on to a more appropriate relationship that is now within your power to have. If you are telling yourself, I need that person back in my life or another ideal relationship right now, or even I need a partner in order to feel happy, any of these attitudes could be behind your feelings of panic, loneliness, depression, desperation, craving, or anxiety. A positive attitude, however, would be, I prefer, as does practically every other member of the human race, a suitable relationship as opposed to a poor relationship or no relationship at all, but I do not need a relationship in order to be whole. Furthermore, do ideal relationships really exist anyway? I've never met someone who truly wanted their ex back. However, I've met countless numbers of people who wanted their ex back without the flaws that made the relationship fall apart in the first place. As you can see, that's totally unrealistic. Another negative attitude would result from your telling yourself, taking charge of my life without a partner is too hard, and furthermore, I shouldn't have to put up with these extreme hassles. The result of that is discomfort anxiety, low frustration tolerance, and a lot of anger. The positive counterpart to this attitude would be to have you say, while this is a much more difficult time in my life than other times have been, most would agree that separation and change is generally more stressful than other times when life is characterized by more stability. But too hard implies impossible, which it isn't, rather than difficult, which it is. If you're telling yourself it's impossible to go through this period without feeling extremely depressed, angry, lonely, or jealous, since after all, everyone says it's perfectly normal to feel this way, then helplessness, depression, anger, loneliness, and jealousy are likely to be the result. But a more positive attitude would say, while it's perfectly normal for me to feel somewhat depressed, angry, lonely, or jealous, it's unhealthy and not inevitable that I feel so horribly upset. I better understand that I'm perpetuating these extreme feelings through my own negative attitudes, and I can choose not to feel so upset by keeping level-headed and not blowing things out of proportion. If you're telling yourself, after all I did for my ex-partner all these years, I'm owed a lifetime of happiness, or I deserve better, then you're sure to have self-righteous anger. But a more positive attitude would say, while it is true that I gave a great deal in the relationship and would have preferred that it lasted a longer time, I realize now that giving does not guarantee living happily ever after. Another angry attitude would be one where you're telling yourself, I deserve much better treatment for my acts than I'm getting. At the very least, I deserve fairness. While a more positive attitude would be, it's unlikely that my former mate will change his or her behavior toward me merely because that's what I want. Changes that a person make for another person generally prove not only to be temporary, but to be packed with ulterior motives. True change comes because of one's own desire to change. So that by working on my own anger, it's possible that my ex's attitude will change, but it's certainly not a given. Therefore, these demands are in my best interest to give up. Then I can get on with my own life much easier. If you're feeling shame, guilt, and depression, it could be because you're telling yourself that I have failed, or worse yet, I am a failure. But a positive attitude would say perhaps the relationship failed to continue, but that hardly makes me a failure. In fact, and in reality, relationships that end do so merely because they have run their course. The moment that I accept that, I will be free to begin a more appropriate involvement. Of course, you could be feeling hopeless about reinvolvement as well as some very generalized anger at all potential partners if you're telling yourself things like, all men or all women are alike, so I'm sure to be hurt again. But a positive attitude you can adopt is the understanding that any time you generalize to all members of a given sex because of the way one person behaved, you'll only build a wall that'll prevent the involvement that obviously is important to you. Hopefully you've learned enough not to make the same mistake. So don't blow it now by taking all the other potential partners down in the same shipwreck. Another negative attitude is to tell yourself, there will never be another as good as my ex. I can never replace that person. In which case, you could be feeling depression, grief, and panic. Whereas the positive attitude here is to realize the reality that there are many other fish in the sea. I've seen scores of people in the process of divorce who have children torment themselves with guilt by saying, I've ruined everyone else's life by leaving, and I'm a horrible person for doing so and for having acted so selfishly. The alternative attitude here is to acknowledge that it will be hard for others who depended on you to stay in that relationship, but if you made the choice to leave, you did so at a time when you were very unhappy. Even though you may second-guess yourself at certain times, remember what was going on when you made that decision to leave. Demanding no regrets at any time is an awfully tall order to put on yourself. Of course, if you second-guess yourself, you could be saying at times, I've made the wrong choice. Now I've really ruined my life. And that attitude could also be the one behind your depression, hopelessness, and jealousy, especially if you're the one who has left the relationship and now find that your ex has become involved with someone else. But the positive attitude here is to acknowledge that you're acting solely on hindsight. At the time you made the decision, you were acting on the facts and desires you had then. Now it's time to stop your own self-doubting. When you do that, you'll be free to get on with your life. Another source of those feelings of panic is your self-doubt about how you will survive in the future without that ended relationship. But a positive attitude will acknowledge that no one knows what will become of them from moment to moment. If you stop and think about it, life is full of situations where we feel like a fish out of water. You adjusted to them before, and you'll adjust to this too, as long as you don't convince yourself that it's not within your power to do so. And finally, when ending a love relationship, you may be fearing the rejection of others who have even more feelings about your relationship ending than you do. And yes, it's possible that some people will judge you harshly, will be disappointed, and perhaps even be nasty and downright rejecting. But hopefully, those people you value the most will eventually accept what happened as unfortunate, even though the label unfortunate may be from their perspective only. But unfortunate as it is still a reality. Some people may never accept it, and that may be disappointing as well, but since you're powerless to change their thinking, it's best to focus on a very important question, and that is, whose life is it anyway? Remember, the capacity either to love or to enjoy life without a relationship belongs to you, not to the person from whom you've separated, and the responsibility to let go of an ended relationship is yours. It's not the other person's responsibility to free you. Those who don't let go often make one of two errors. One is to get involved prematurely in a new relationship. Relationships like that are of a rebound nature and usually serve little purpose other than to act as anesthesia in getting you over the pain of your last one. That's one of the reasons that rebound relationships rarely last. The other main error is to avoid new relationships completely out of the fear of getting hurt once again. In fact, that's one reason why so many cling to those negative emotions, but unfortunately, they serve as protection from being hurt once again. If this is the case, those are walls that you have erected, so they are walls that you can tear down. Any loss can trigger a grief reaction. Sometimes the pain is so great that your only relief, temporary as it may be, is to deny that it's there. But denial only provides, at best, temporary relief. Because underneath that denial are the angry feelings, perhaps of betrayal and disappointment. This can also be directed at a person in your life who has died, at an institution that has discharged you from your job, or at any situation whatsoever where a loss has occurred. Then, of course, there are the feelings of sadness of missing whatever it is that you've lost, even if it's something that you would never want back. Next comes those feelings of fear, terror, panic, and abandonment. What do I do now? How do I get my life together? The next natural stage in the grieving process is to begin to problem solve and to look for new solutions. If it's a job that you're replacing, you'll need to begin making up resumes. If it's an ended love relationship, you'll begin thinking about your future and perhaps become available again. This is the beginning of your new wind. Next comes the acceptance of what has happened and the realization that you probably can't go backwards. At that point, you're free to make new attachments and to begin permanently healing by forgiving, if forgiving is in order. Then you're free to feel renewed or even reborn as your life takes new shape. What some people have a great deal of difficulty with is the concept of forgiving. Indeed, forgiving has different connotations to different people. A reason that so many find the concept of forgiving difficult is because of the misconception that forgiving means telling the person you're forgiving that what he or she did is all right. Instead, think of forgiving as something you do for your own benefit. Forgiving helps you to accept the situation, let go, and move on. It frees you from the negative feelings and attitudes that you will obsess over, which will keep you hung up and trapped in the whole process of letting go. You can forgive someone without even telling them you've forgiven them. It simply means that you stop blaming so that you can let go of the negative feelings. Because after all, there are certain things we can't undo. If revenge freed us, then revenge would be the ideal situation. But holding out for revenge only tends to keep you hooked in. Remember that throughout life, there will be many people who will not meet your expectations, and there will be many disappointments. Indeed, there's no particular reason why you may have lost out on some things. But by the same token, there's no particular reason why certain things may have worked out for you. In developing the attitudes that will enable you to let go, here are some additional things to keep in mind. Watch your tendency to paint a past experience either all black or all white. For example, with an ended love relationship, when you can remember both the good times and the bad times, then you're moving toward letting go. If you're thinking in purely negative terms, realize that you're probably making that overgeneralizing error again. After all, if the individual from whom you were separating were that totally negative, you'd be nothing but glad to have that person out of your life. There would be no ambivalence at all. The anger is often associated with the part of the relationship that you're unwilling to acknowledge, and that is the reality that the good times are no longer here. By the same token, if you're remembering something only in positive terms, think about those very things that made the relationship end. It may also be helpful to focus on the routine of daily life with that person rather than just those unforgettable events that you cherish the most. When thinking about an ended relationship or looking back on any experience, don't make more of it than it was, and don't make less of it than it was. Look at the situation realistically as it really was. People close to you can often help you to do this. And remember, the greatest healer of all is the truth. Sometimes an ended relationship could have been very short-term in nature, yet the pain experienced is as great as if you were together 30 years rather than perhaps 30 days. If you're reeling from something like that, ask yourself whether the wound you feel because of the loss is really a heart wound, if you will, or if it's just an ego wound that you're building way out of proportion. Ego wounds can feel like real losses, just like infatuation can feel like real love. But like infatuation, it's merely an illusion, and by realizing what it is, often the pain will dissipate much faster. When someone close to you dies, remember that part of the process of letting go is to feel the sadness and grief. Healing occurs when you purge those feelings out of your system. Let yourself cry and feel the pain. There are few times in life when support can be more crucial. There's no compensation in this life for misfortune. That's unfortunate. So to the extent that you feel like a victim, realize that things are rarely as personal as they seem. Others usually act in their own self-interest, and in the course of achieving their own goal, you may sometimes get hurt. That's often merely a byproduct. So look out for your own self-interest and stop preoccupying yourself with the anger that comes from the attitude that someone's victimized you. Another solution may be to confront someone in your life, perhaps a parent, an old lover, or someone else, who does not have the same relationship with you now as they did during another period of your life, with whatever unresolved feelings toward that other person you can share. If possible and feasible, sometimes by talking over some unfinished business, you can not only resolve it, but come to a new perspective that you could hardly have done on your own. There's an exercise in mentally dropping out that I do often. I make a list of all the things in my life that are going on right now. In addition, I list all the people with whom I have constant contact. Once my list is complete, I go down and think of just what it would be like to let go of each item or person, and then re-choose that which I want or need to be a part of my life. This reminds us that even things that we tell ourselves we wouldn't choose, when we take all things into consideration, we find that we usually do have what we have chosen. When you find that this is the case, it's definitely to your advantage to acknowledge it. It's also quite a source of empowerment to know that whatever you haven't let go of, you've chosen. Once again, here's a thought-stopping technique. Once you have decided that something is to be let go of, If you continue to get residue thoughts about it, consider them merely unwanted thoughts to be attacked directly. Use that rubber band that we talked about earlier. Give yourself a snap when you have an unwanted thought, and you'll find that you will condition yourself out of the occurrence of those thoughts. For some people, instead of a rubber band, simply saying to yourself, "Stop," does the job. Now here's one final exercise in letting go that will help to put you in touch with some of the unresolved feelings you may have toward people in your life, past or present. If you're driving in a car, you may want to turn the tape recorder off now and turn it back on at a time when you can close your eyes, enabling you to get the full benefits out of this exercise. Close your eyes and imagine in your mind's eye the people who are in your life right now who are important to you. Just let them go through your mind's eye, almost as though they were appearing on a movie screen. Be aware of any feelings that come up for you. Next, I would like you to go back a year, and once again, picture in your mind's eye the people who meant the most to you 1 year ago. In many cases, it'll be some of the same people you visualized before. In other cases, however, it may be someone with whom for some reason you have no contact at all presently, but who is still quite important to you a year ago. Once again, become aware of the feelings you experience as you go back 1 year, and just for a second, reconnect with some of those people who are most important to you then. Be aware of anything that may be unfinished with any of the people that you envision, anything you might want to say to them, or anything you may want to ask. Next, I'd like you to go back 5 years. And once again, picture those people who are most important to you and who played the most prominent roles in your life 5 years ago. Once again, take note of who is the same and who is different, and become aware of any feelings that you may have triggered in recalling those people who may not be in your life right now. Be aware of anything that may be unfinished with any of the people that you envision and anything you may want to say to them. Now pick another time in your life, sometime between 5 years ago and childhood, and once again, picture in your mind's eye the people who are most important to you at that time. Once again, be aware of any feelings that it brings up. Be aware of anything that may be unfinished with any of the people that you recall, anything you may want to say to them, or anything you may want to ask. Finally, go back to your childhood or as early a time in your life as you can remember, and once again recall the faces in your mind's eye of those people who are most important to you at that time in your life. Be aware of the feelings that it brings up for you and what you would like to say to those people as you remember them now, many, many years later. Be aware of anything that may be unfinished with any of the people that you envision, anything you may want to say to them, or anything you may want to ask. Open your eyes now and take some notes. What are some of the things that you have discovered about some of the people in your life that may be unfinished? What are some things that you would like to talk to them about? Tell them. Ask them. What are some feelings that you would like to let go of? Take note of any regrets you may have become aware of, or even any moments you may feel that you cherish as a result of doing this. Now ask yourself, just what is it that I need to do within myself to let go of any of the negative feelings I may now have, and focus on your own attitude that gives you such a difficult time in letting go. Ask yourself, to what advantage is it for me to hold on to feelings that may be negative? Of course, you know by now that you can choose what feelings you wish to hold on to, and which you know are very much to your advantage to let go of. Try to make that determination. You may also want to make a list of some of the additional things that have come up for you that you want to work toward letting go of. As I said earlier, you may find that letting go involves working something through in the present with that person involved, if the person is available. These are all choices open to you. Regardless of when the event in question took place, Remember, nothing can be as exhilarating as letting go of excess baggage, and there is no better definition of excess baggage than a negative attitude that continues to defeat you.